Count it a pleasure to be with my brother here tonight. I know it is his desire to serve the Lord, to serve each one of us. His desire to bring forth that which the Lord has given unto him, placed upon his heart this night. And I would ask for your prayers for Brother Kevin.
Good evening, everyone. I love everyone here, and I know that's kind of a thing to say, but I really do, and I'm really thankful for each of you. Not only for being here tonight, but for the examples you are to me, and for your diligence in coming out week after week. And I thank God that you're here. The last few months I've been kind of, pretty anxious. And just kind of in a general state of worry. And there's just been things from pretty much every area of my life that I've been worried about and I've been thinking about and that I've been concerned about with work and then with my wife's dad and then my dad with her health issues and then Uncle Frank with his health issues and then, we're in the nightmarish process of moving that's just been horrible. And I found myself I feel like I've just been tied up, my stomach has just been tied up in one big knot. And I was just unable to untie it. And just felt like it was just getting worse and worse. And, instead of using tough times to allow myself to, the Word gives us those times to come closer to Him. Instead of letting myself do that and use that opportunity for what it was, I was just kind of withdrawing into myself. And would just kind of be a little bit distant at home with my wife and get home from work and just not talk much and just kind of want to zone out and just pull in, And I was offering up prayers to the Lord, but I know that they weren't what they should have been. And I was thinking about that, and I was kind of, I don't remember where I was, but I was just kind of talking out loud to the Lord. And it wasn't, I guess it's a prayer. It doesn't seem right to call that a prayer, but it was just basically talking to the Lord. And, just kind of laying it all out there, finally. And there's a song that I've listened to for a long time, and these words were just kind of there in my mind. This one line of the song says, it's just a question that the singer is asking. He says, "Are you hearing me like I'm hearing you?" And I know that the Lord was hearing my prayers, but I wasn't hearing Him. And I opened the Scriptures one night into the 16th chapter of John, and I just started reading. And the part where it really caught my attention, to give a little bit of, instead of reading one verse, I want to start with the seventh verse. And he's speaking to his disciples here. And he's laying out a lot of things, what's going to happen, and giving them instruction. And then he's telling them in the seventh verse, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Is it expedient for you that I go away? For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." And the 12th verse was for me. "I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. And I know that my growth for a while was stunted because I wasn't able to bear the things that he had for me. And this sermon was his way of getting, opening that line of communication back to where I could hear him. And it's, my sermon is all from the next chapter in John. And I know that I've read this many times before, but it never meant so much to me as it does now. And if you read along with me, I want to start in chapter 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And before I go on, I want to apologize for being so emotional tonight. I just feel like there's a lot on my plate right now. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And I am thankful for those words, and I'm thankful for that third verse there, that he's telling us what eternal life is. But I have a hard time with it. And it's the middle part of that. What life eternal is to us, and it is coming to know God. And I continually have problems. Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I continually have a problem in coming to know God like he wants me to know him. And I look out and I know that each one of us here, it's our desire to come to know him. You know, and in that effort, in our effort and our trials and our struggles to come to know him, we'll find that eternal life. But it's the last part that's much easier to me, and that's coming to know Jesus Christ. I find it much easier to come to know the one who is crucified for us, the one who intervenes for us, the one who, when we offer up a prayer, is one that takes that prayer and brings it to the Father. The one who sent us the Holy Ghost. The one that knew we needed that comforter and loved us enough to provide that for us. The one that walked in flesh just like we walk in it. The one, like my favorite Christmas song says, he knows our needs. And to those weaknesses is no stranger. He knows our weaknesses. And in my human weakness and trying to resolve, when I try to resolve things according to my own understanding and the way that I comprehend them, it's hard for me to know why God does a lot of the things that he does and to understand those things, to resolve them according to my own understanding. I have a hard time. It's always been a hard thing to understand why God offered up his own Son. The most beautiful thing that he created, that came from himself, that's a part of himself, he gave it for us. He gave it for me. Why I've been so blessed in my life when I look out and I see others that haven't been. And I know that the answer behind all those questions, why he does that, is love. I know that. I know that's the go-to answer. His unmeasurable love, the love that we can't completely understand. But as we read on, Christ expounds on that answer. And my understanding in reading this was made clear. So let's keep reading on. Verse 4. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What an amazing thing to be able to say. When you're ready to give up your last breath, would that not be the greatest thing that could happen, is just be speaking to the Father and say, I have finished the work that you've given me to do. There's nothing more that I could do with the time that you've given me. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. And I started to understand with that. Everything belongs to the Father. Everything that he's created is his. We are his. Each one of us, we belong to the Father. But he did something. He gave us to Christ. We are his because he's bought us with his own blood. God knew that I needed him. God knew that you needed him. Not, of course, to atone for our sins. Of course, to sacrifice himself, to wash our sins clean. But to give us someone to relate to, someone to connect to, someone to identify with. Because he took our form, we can understand him much easier. And when we do that, when we come to know Christ personally, when we accept him as our Savior, we come to know our Heavenly Father even more. Because they are one. They are the same. And as we come to know him and we come to know his love, we know the love that our Father has for us. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Our Heavenly Father is receiving the prayers that our Savior sends to him and prays on our behalf. He's praying for us. He knows our needs. He knows how to express those needs better than we do. You know, and in those times of anxiety and confusion and stress, when we fall short of being able to express those needs and those desires, our Savior knows how to express them. He knows how to take them to our Creator. That gives me peace. And all are mine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. You know, I hope that I can get to the point that as I wake up each day, and I hope each of us can get to the point, that when we wake up each day, that our purpose, you know, I pray that each of us will let our purpose be, that through us, that Christ would be glorified, that others might look at us and thank God for us, you know, and recognize that light and want to know the source of that light and know the source of that joy and that happiness that we have. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. You know, in our church, in our local, you know, among individuals, we have disagreements. We have differences of opinion, and we struggle with those, and we get caught up in them, and we let them bind us down. And it's because we're not of the same mind. And there isn't one of us here, there isn't any of us who aren't here this evening, that has the mind that each of us should have. The mind that each of us should strive to have is the mind of Christ and the mind of our Heavenly Father. And all those disagreements, you know, that we get caught up in, when we can all come to have the mind of Christ and come to know that as our own, they'll be done away with. We won't have those to struggle with anymore. You know, the Father and the Son, when Christ walked the earth, there was no disagreements. Christ didn't come to him and say, you know, my beloved, I have this for you to do. And Jesus said, you sure? He did the will of his Father. Whatever he called him to do, the words that he spoke were from the Father. They were one. And that is what we need to strive to be. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Men are that they might have joy. You know, we were created so that we could have joy. And our Savior has made that possible. He's made that joy obtainable. You know, when he gave his life, when he sent us his comforter to minister to us, he made that joy possible. We're able to come to know our Father as we should. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I like to read the paper, and I like to keep up with what's going on, and you know, in the political world, I get frustrated with, you know, what there is to read and the things that there is to do, and to, you know, all the backbiting and the just all the muck that there is out there. But I like try to keep myself informed, and I don't identify myself with the LDS Church, but. I was reading the paper a while ago, and you know, it was something pretty scary that I read, and it wasn't surprising. I wasn't surprised by it, but it was kind of disturbing. There was a really far right-wing minister that was really vocal about one of the Republican candidates who was a member of the LDS Church. And he was stamping his foot and making a big hubbub about, you know, if he was the nominee for the Republican Party, then they were turning evil, because he was a follower of Joseph Smith, who was nothing but a polygamist, and he was evil, an evil man, and his work was inspired by Satan. And I think the scripture bears it out. We're not a part of that church. But that's how others are going to look at us. Others in the so-called Christian world are going to see us in that light. They're going to see us as followers of Joseph Smith. And they're going to think that we're evil. And they're going to hate us for what we believe. Christ didn't want us to be unaware of those things. And he didn't want us to run and hide from those things. And he says so in the 15th verse. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. We're not to remove ourselves from the world. And it's a hard thing to do. We're to remove ourselves from evil. And it's getting harder and harder to do that, to not remove yourself completely from the world and just remove ourselves from the evil, because it seems like there's more and more evil to be had. We still have to live in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And sanctify is one of those words that I always, you know, assume that I know the meaning of, that I just kind of infer the meaning of. But it means to set apart as, or to declare as holy. So he's praying that the Father would set these disciples, he would set us apart as holy. And the way that that's going to happen, the way that he can do that, is through the truth. And the truth is his word. And we have the word in our scriptures. And we have the fullness of the gospel in these scriptures. That we have the means to be completely sanctified if we study them. And as we seek the Lord, and as we come to know him through his word. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their words. You know, he's not willing that one should be lost. He is the great shepherd of his sheep. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. You know, our Heavenly Father wants to have unity with all of his children. He wants to be one with us. He wants us to have his mind. He wants us to know the things that he knows. He wants us to be able to bear those things that he has for us. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. You know what it tells me here in the 23rd verse? That perfection isn't unobtainable. That we can have it. But according to the way I read this, the only way that we can have it is if we become one with our Heavenly Father and with his Son and with each other. And when we do that, we can obtain perfection. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. And I didn't really know how this was going to end, but I know that 17th chapter was for me. And I hope that it's our pleasure. That it's not only our duty. It goes without saying that it's our duty. But I hope it's our pleasure to declare his name. To share with anyone that we come in contact with the testimony that we have. The faith that we share. The love that we have for each other. You know, I need to grow. You know, and I need your help in doing that. There's a reason that Christ gives us each other, because we need each other. And I don't know where I would be without this local. If I had to do it on my own, I don't know where I would be today. I hope that each of us would try to find a way to let everyone here know how much we care for each other. You know, and we would let that love grow in our hearts, to where it's not only for each of us here, that we not only feel it so strongly for each one of us here, but we feel it for others outside of this local and outside of this church. We feel it the way that our Heavenly Father feels it. And I got a phone call from a family member, and I'm really proud of him, because when I was growing up, he was a hard person to love because he was ornery, and I felt like... he kind of liked to torment people quite a bit. But if you were to go back 10 years and to flash forward to 10 years later into now, I don't think any of us would recognize him. And the growth that he has had, I want to have in my life. And just a simple phone call meant so much to me, to let him know I'm here to help. And I know that we're family, and you kind of expect that from family, but we have a big family. And it's hard to help everyone that needs help. But I felt that love, and it was, and I know that it was from God, and I thank God for that. And it just kind of brought everything together. You know, it just kind of brought everything that's been going on over the last few months. It just brought it all together. That we should never pass up the opportunity to show that love for each other. That love for others. That we might hear the Lord speak to us the way he hears us speaking to him. Because there's a lot that he has in store for us and for this local. And I pray that each of us will be ready to bear that. And I thank you for letting me kind of unload tonight. And I pray that that I've brought something that may be a benefit to each of you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
read. Next Friday night, the Financial Peace University at 7 to 9 p.m. Saturday, Bible School staff meeting at the Temple Lot at 4 p.m. Saturday night, 4:30 to 9:30, the Fish Fry fundraiser at Young Park in Blue Springs. Next Sunday, the Financial Peace University, session 2 from 4 to 6. Bible School, July 9 through 13, 8:30 to noon. Staff to arrive at 8:20. And July 13th, Friday, will be Bible School program and ice cream social. Just remember our sacrament service next Sunday that we come prepared for that. And also our Wednesday night prayer service. We're going to use number 124 in opening or closing. 124.